Well, obviously, yesterday our world was all shook up, to quote the great Elvis Presley, with everything that was going on with the earthquake. And we thought we'd find out a bit more behind this whole phenomenon. Professor Martin van Kranendonk is with us from University of New South Wales. Martin, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. So, should we have been surprised that we got an earthquake? I mean, the last major one, sort of back in 89, but should we ever be surprised?
Oh, listen, you can never take your place on the earth for granted, but it's always a really unusual event to have a big earthquake like that in Australia. Like you said, it doesn't happen very often. We're pretty fortunate to live on a tectonic plate that's quiet almost all the way around. And so when these earthquakes occur, it does actually, shake our foundations, doesn't it? It's not what we expect.
Certainly does. The main times I've heard the term tectonic and shaking is normally, I thought tectonic was some sort of dance music, but there you go, you live and learn, don't you?
It can be. If the shakes are strong enough, you might find yourself busting a couple of moves. But no, Australia doesn't have, you know, active mountain belts or a subduction zone, so we're lucky, you know. New Zealand gets hammered by these things a lot more often, of course, and on the Ring of Fire over in the Pacific, it's very common. You get very large earthquakes. This is one of the biggest, I think, ever recorded in Australia, and thank goodness for that. It doesn't get any bigger.
Yeah.
So you'd probably be quite upset to miss it. I assume you didn't feel it, but somebody in your field would probably like to experience one in the area.
Well, so long as it's not too strong, right? I mean, you start to fear for your well-being and your property and everything else. But, listen, we are very fortunate there were no lives lost. The epicenter was sort of in the middle of the mountains there around in northeast Victoria, Mansfield. But, you know, if it had been closer to Melbourne, there could have been a lot more damage. And so we're thankful that the epicenter, the main point of fracture of the crust, occurred in a relatively unpopulated area.
So now the cause behind it, you know, you mentioned the tectonic plates and that, and I was reading that, like, Australia's moving north at about 7 centimetres a year. So is this sort of, in geographical terms, more a case of like a bit of a tap into the rear of another car in a car park somewhere, that we sort of bumped into Indonesia a bit?
Yeah, well, listen, that's a very good analysis. That's one of the possibilities. And really, you know, the only tectonic activity is where the Australian plate is colliding across Papua New Guinea. The Owen Stanley Range is being pushed up at the moment. But that's very far away from the source here in Victoria. And there's a little belt of earthquakes that follows the high ground around the southeast corner of Australia and up through the Great Dividing Range. You know, all that high terrain is actually physically being uplifted from below. It's actually a separate process from the collision up in the north and from the collision over in New Zealand, which is also very far away. This is the aftermath of when Australia rifted away from Gondwana land in the South Pole and New Zealand split off the side of Australia. That splitting off of continents causes the crust to thin, and then it bounces back. But it bounces back very slowly. It's sort of, think about a like if you stretch a rubber band, you know, it starts off a little bit thick, and as you stretch it, thins and thins and thins. And then when it snaps, of course, the rebound's very fast. Mm. But geology is very slow, and the rebound is still happening, pushing up mountains through the highlands of Australia. And that pushing upwards is probably what this earthquake was related to, because those high peaks, Kosciuszko, you know, 2,200 meters, those are all formed after Australia was ground flat by the ice ages, and so that's still recent uplift.
Wow. It's fascinating stuff. I mean, it makes my brain hurt a bit.
Yeah, I was just thinking this. Obviously, we need a bit more time than we have got this morning, but are we ready to sort of, are we sort of ready for more noise and rumblings and earthquakes?
Listen, the reality is that belt of high ground will be tectonically active for quite a long time afterwards, but certainly no bigger than what we had, you know, yesterday. And that gives us some pause for relief. We know we're not going to get a really strong one, but it can happen. And the problem is that we know sort of roughly where the earthquakes can happen, like on a very big scale around those, you know, mountains in Australia. but not when. The when is always the big factor that is very difficult to predict, because the stresses caused by tectonic movements build up very, very slowly. And then at some point, the crust has to alter, but we don't know when that happens. And unfortunately, there's that incremental strain, and then, bang, it goes.
Yeah.
And it's when it goes that we get those earthquakes.
Well, I tell you, at least now, in years to come, we can bore the shies and out of the grandkids going, ah, yeah, you know, Grandpa's talking about that bloody earthquake again, but yeah, but at least we've been in one. It's interesting. Hey, Martin, well, fascinating stuff. Yeah. Thank you.
It's amazing how my pleasure. It's amazing how far afield it was felt, wasn't it? It traveled almost 1,000 kilometres away from the epicentre.
I know. Amazing stuff. Hey, great to chat, Martin. Thank you so much for that.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
Yep, you too. That's Professor Martin van Kranendonk from the University of New South Wales in the Wake Up Call, the Gold Centre, Victoria.